Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Triple Knot Pod. Thank you for joining me as I speak with another friend and former teammate of mine. Olivia came to Smith College in Massachusetts during January of 2019 as a math postback, spelled B-A-C-C, which, as most of our team didn't really know what that meant, that means that she had recently earned a bachelor's degree from Scripps College in California and was coming to Smith to spend 1 year taking classes that would prepare her for future studies as a graduate student. Previously, Olivia had never ran a season of cross country in her life and only dabbled in track in high school, yet mid-year she jumped right into the Smith team and made an immediate impact, setting the tone in practice and at meets with her drive and her speed. In her first season of running in 6 years, she ran 2:21 for the 800, sub 60 in the 400 on our relays, and 3:05 in the 1K, despite only having a few months to train and race for track. She then also completed a full season of cross country for the Smith Pioneers. Olivia is calling in today from her home in Eugene, Oregon, and is here to talk about her unique journey to collegiate running and what she learned along the way. So thanks for calling in today, Olivia. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the pod.
Awesome. All right. Yeah, I'm so excited. So I wanted to start with some fun introduction questions. So what is the strangest encounter that you've had on a run?
So like two things come to mind. So one time I was just running on the Eugene bike path, which is like a pretty sketchy place to run in general. And then there was this like random guy on a bike who then like asked me on a date, and then it was like horribly uncomfortable. I'm like, you can't like really like run away like when someone's like running next to you. And so then I was just like, oh, like I'm like really busy. And then he like biked away, and then it was like horrible. And then another time I was running through the cornfields by myself, like in Northampton. And then I saw this, like, fire, like, beyond the cornfields, and then eventually, like, ran to it. And then I thought, like, this truck was on fire, like, in the middle of the cornfields. But then it just turns out that this guy had a truck, had, like, a fire behind his truck in the middle of the day, which was also kind of sketchy. But in the end, like, I had my phone, and it was fine, and I just ran past it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite runs to go on at Smith, but I generally try to avoid it alone for that reason.
Yeah, it's not entirely safe.
I'm glad you made it out of both situations. If you could rerun any specific race or workout without changing anything about it, what would it be and why?
So, as you mentioned, that, like, for my introduction, I really had I had not done cross country before this season, so at age 23, my first cross country season, and then I don't feel like I ever really like super got the handle of the long exerted efforts at like threshold or near threshold, but one of my favorite workouts, or like my favorite race or workout from track or cross country, was this one workout that we do on the cross country course that's completely untimed, and you just do like these segments and you don't quite know what's happening because it's hard to remember what the segments are, but they're all like marked off. And I think that it was the only time that I felt just like super engaged and ready to go for one of those like long exertion cross-country workouts. And then it was also weird because it was a Tuesday at the end of the day. It had been a bad day, and our coach made some sort of comment about how I should be running faster, about how my cross-country season was not really panning out as I was capable of, and it was well-intentioned, but it did make me feel bad about my past performances. But on this workout, even though I had kind of like all of this baggage, I just went, and it was really nice to like fly down the hills and like work as a part of like a small group, And it was also good because I felt that as the season was going on, or like because I was able to work with like one particular person on the team who I had done like some summer training with. And so like as my season just like kept getting worse, like her season got a lot better. But it was that workout was like a strange time where we kind of met in the middle with how we were doing. And so it just like felt really uninhibited, just like the summer runs that we did together. So that was the workout I would want to redo.
Yeah, it sounds like a sort of magical experience, especially when you need that reminder of how enjoyable running can be and how capable you are too. So before we get more into your collegiate running experiences, let's back up to how you came to the sport. You're from Eugene, Oregon. You grew up in the famous Tracktown USA. What's that culture like, and how did growing up there influence your idea of track?
So I didn't even really know the significance of like Tracktown USA or running in Eugene. Like it just felt normal to me. Like I drove past Hayward Field every day on my way home from high school. I went to a Diamond League track meet, like the Prefontaine Classic, without realizing what the Diamond League was or like the caliber of the athletes that were there. And like now I think it'd be like the coolest thing ever to go to a Diamond League track meet. And so I was immersed in it, but I didn't even realize I was immersed in the culture.
How do you try to experience that notoriety now when you go back home?
Well, you have to go run on like Amazon Trail System or the Rexius Trails or even just like South Eugene Track, because you'll probably see someone from like the OTC Elite. So when I was training over last winter for Smith, I was running there, and then I saw like 3 U of O runners doing 1K repeats. And then I was like, oh my God, these people are so cool. So it was fun.
I envy that. What was your athletic background in high school and then at Scripps College?
So in high school, I did 4 years of volleyball and then 3 years of track, quitting after my junior season for track. I really enjoyed being on both teams and met some really great friends for both of them. I always considered volleyball to be more my main sport, even though I had more success in track. Running in high school was a lot about hanging out with just like the small group of distance runners on the team. And then a lot of those people were seniors or people in my year. And so then when they graduated and like my other friend quit, I also decided to quit.
What do you mean by you experienced more success in track?
I didn't play very much in volleyball. I was not able to really contribute. In volleyball, it's kind of about like you have to be good in one particular area. Like you have to be able to like either like hit or dig or like set really well. But then I was a better all-around player, so I wasn't like, we had our like a very like, we won something like 1 or 2 games all season, and this is a program that would usually go to the state tournament. So no one on the team was really able to contribute or like get it done for the team, including myself.
How do you attribute your volleyball athleticism to your running?
During high school, I kind of felt like they were working against each other, because volleyball is so much about like the fast twitch and the like quick reaction and explosiveness, while long distance running I felt would like make me worse at jumping and worse at like the fast reaction kind of thing. Like, you don't really need endurance for volleyball, but that's what I was like building up during my track season. So I never really felt like I could have, like, they were just like so opposite, and I didn't really feel like I could have both meaningfully at the same time. Like, I tried to actually do my first year club volleyball and track at the same time, like during the same season. And then I ended up, that was my only like real like sports running related injury that was very serious. And it was just like too much. And then in like beach volleyball, running is actually like more advantageous just because you need to have a lot more endurance and like aerobic capacity to like go like three sets or whatever. So I like, I think that volleyball helped with like injury prevention and like strength, because like we would do like ACL circuits a lot, but I don't think running really helps for volleyball.
Yeah, so it seems like maybe at the time there wasn't that much benefit to each of the sports in terms of how they helped each other, but then in the long run, perhaps volleyball really helped set you up for being athletic when it came to track and having that speed.
Yeah, that is a good summary.
And then you said a little bit about sort of the social aspects of being on the track team. How did running affect you socially, and how is the social part of running something that either kept you in the sport or kept you out of the sport, etc.?
Yeah, so in high school, I was very shy. I had like my small group of friends, and I went to a small Catholic private school. So that small group of friends stayed with me from like fifth grade to the end of my senior year without a ton of branching out. And so being on the track team, I wasn't just surrounded by that small group of friends. I was surrounded instead by three other girls, distance runners, and then the rest was kind of fratty distance runner dude boys. And I didn't really feel too much kinship with these people. And like oftentimes I felt kind of uncomfortable and had trouble like talking to them. And then I went to women's colleges for the rest of my life. So I would say, yeah, definitely I struggled with talking and relating to men and being on a track team where you're in like close quarters and constantly interacting with men was definitely a strange and uncomfortable thing for me. I definitely got over this kind of like weird man thing later in life, like from just like mostly from graduating from a women's college and then like spending time with like people that aren't just women. And so like, yeah. If you're in a women's college and you're worried about like, will I ever be able to talk to men or relate to men, like my whole life I've just been friends with women, you will definitely like, especially if you're in a STEM field and then you're literally, you're like a woman minority all the time, you'll be forced to, and then you'll look back on your women's college days and you're like, oh, like these were the times that I just like spent with women. So like the rest of your life will be with men. So it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you. So when you did start running again, what did you carry with you from those high school experiences to college besides how to talk to men?
Well, so I started running again when I was living, or like running again in earnest at Scripps through a running club, and then in Berkeley when I was living there for about 6 months after I graduated. And what did I take from high school to that?
It's okay if you didn't take anything.
No, it's a good question. I'm just thinking. I think that, like, the main things that I took were, like, these two workouts that I remembered. So, like, in high school, we used to do, like, 150s on the minute. So, like, you'd run 150 meters, and then you'd have, like, the rest of the minute to, like, recover. Mm-hmm. And then you'd do it again, and you'd do it, like, 8 or 10 times or whatever. Oh, nice. So, like, I didn't really know how to do very many workouts besides, like, the handful that we would just, like, repeatedly do in high school. And so I learned somewhat how to train, but not really. Mm. And my friend who later went on to run D1 at Oregon State, she taught me a lot about, like, the, like, her own running philosophy, which has definitely impacted mine.
Do you have a running philosophy that you
I don't have a super serious one. I like to do things that challenge me. And so running is definitely a thing that I find challenging and, like, kind of heart-wrenching and destroying sometimes also. But a lot of people who don't, or namely my boyfriend, who is not a runner, doesn't really understand why you would want to put yourself through something that's so, like, hard and unpleasant, or at least how it seems to them. But I think that with running and math, I try and devote myself to activities that I feel will make me grow, because there's no point in, like, spending a lot of time making yourself feel comfortable or satisfied with where you are. With running and math, I won't be bored, at least.
So it sounds like that risk-taking and bravery show up in many aspects of your life between running and math. Are there other things that you've done that you could attribute the qualities that you express through running to other experiences you've had in your life?
I think that picking up and moving also requires a lot of that. I didn't really have to do that before. So when I went to college for the first time, it was very difficult because all of my friends were going to nearby Oregon State while I was going, like, 1,000 miles away to California. So it was hard at first just because I felt like I was missing out. But that really was, like, I was in it to grow and I was in it to learn. So in the end, I would come out stronger for having gone through this. And then I had to pick up and move several times after graduating. And all of those, I think, also were tests.
Besides coming out stronger, is there another part of running or putting yourself through challenging experiences that makes it feel worth it, especially in the moment or in the process?
Definitely being on the team changes that a little bit. Being so invested in your teammate's success stands out to me as being extrinsic, something that adds to your experience. Mm.
What are little ways that you keep yourself invested in that process if it's really challenging to begin with?
First of all, doing it with other people is super important to both math and running. It's hard to go out there alone, and it's hard to, like, read a math paper and learn it on your own. But then with other people, you can just accomplish so much more, and everything seems so much more possible. And definitely also setting goals. So right after I finished my time at Smith, I sat down and wrote down 5 or 10 goals that I had for in between now and when I graduate, or when I start my graduate degree. So the day-to-day, it might seem really boring for me to just, like, work out a bunch of examples or go on a 4-mile run that I don't want to do when it's cold or something, but it's also, if I can keep in mind that both of those goals are for a greater purpose, it also keeps me going.
Is that what led you to ultimately joining the team at Smith?
No, that's pretty much, joining the team at Smith is pretty much all due to my friend Lauren Stanislaw, who was a Sky, who ran first Claremont Mud Scripps while I was at Scripps. Just from the way that she described being on a team and, like, having, like, kind of like the student athlete work grind experience. I wanted that. It just seemed like it embodied so many of the qualities that I care about and wanted to advance in myself.
So So how did you end up at Smith exactly? What were you doing in your life immediately after you graduated from Scripps that ultimately led you there?
So I applied to Smith in January of my senior year of college, so a full year before I would eventually start. I thought that I was just going to get in. Like, I thought that I was like an ideal candidate, and I didn't see another way, so I didn't really make any other plans for my life. That is not how, like, I was waitlisted and not offered admission until I want to say July or August following my graduation. So I didn't want to go home, and so I was able to stay on friends' couches or like in friends' beds with them in the time after I graduated. And like I just like applied for jobs and like bummed around the Bay Area for a while. Eventually, I did find a job and then started at this quantum computing lab in Santa Barbara, and that's where I played beach volleyball all the time, all day. And it was really great. And then while I was there, I actually got admitted to Smith. And so I was overjoyed, but had already accepted a position to work in Berkeley for that fall semester. And so I like let them know, and they said, "Oh, like you can just come in January. Like that's totally fine too." And I was like, "Okay." And so then I went to Berkeley, but like Berkeley knowing that I would be leaving to go to Smith at the end. And then also it turns out that there's like a bunch of different like math post-bac programs in the US, but I just like thought there was only one because I like did almost zero research. And so like I easily could have been like in like I could have applied to more and like gone to like Iowa or something and then not been so stressed out because I only applied to one program. But these are the things. So yeah, anyone listening to this podcast who wants to be a math post-bac, do research first.
Oh my gosh. Also, bumming around at a quantum computing lab. That sounds fairly intensive.
No. So like when they hired me, they were like, "Okay, like we care that you have a physics degree, but like do you have any embroidery skills?" I was like, "What the hell?" And then they were like, "Yeah, so we just want someone with like small fingers and like fine motor skills to like do tiny soldering on like these surface mount circuit boards." And so that's what I did. A majority, I was under a microscope and like soldering like tiny resistors and stuff for days for like a full-time job. It was fun, but like not very much fun. Like, 'cause I listened to like 40 hours of like this World War II podcast. And so I like learned a lot of things, but like not about like quantum computing.
So when people ask you what you learned in a quantum lab, you hit them with all these World War II facts.
Yeah. Actually, it was World War One, and I'm
World
sorry. But
War.
yes.
Get the facts, check the facts. False news here. But at least you had beach volleyball on the side to keep things interesting.
Yeah, it was playing beach volleyball was the time of my life. It was very much fun.
So once you got to Smith, why running? Why a team? And why then? Did you think about pursuing volleyball at all? Was that an option for you? Wow.
I never thought I was good enough at volleyball. It would have been so much fun, but I think that like you know how I was earlier talking about how I just do things because they're hard when I don't know what to do. So like volleyball would have been like the easier thing to do, definitely. So it wouldn't have jived with my like life philosophy, I guess.
Really, just
Like,
because enjoy.
volleyball is something that's too much fun.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So, I didn't really know what I was walking into when I went to Smith. I didn't even know, like, the, like, customs and things like that. So I didn't know that I would have, like, free food the whole time. Sorry, Smith Dining Hall. Thank you, Tyler Dining Staff. And, like, I didn't know how it worked, really, to, like, be a post-bac or, like, the hour, like, the two-hour bus ride I would have every day to UMass or all these, like, small pieces that I didn't really realize. And so they were, like, a ton of, like, not very fun surprises. Like, I didn't know what living in 0 degree, like, I moved in on 0 degree weather, and I didn't know that it would be, like, so cold and, like, so snow, and that you couldn't really run very many places for half the year. So there were some, like, unpleasant surprises to coming here, but then that was more than made up for by just, like, the warmth and welcomingness and kindness of the team. That wasn't your original question. I think your original question was, like, why the team and why running and why now. Yes. Another part that was influential to me was that I went through, like, a really, like, emotionally traumatic experience, like, right before basically I left for Smith. Like, at the end of it, at the very, like, last week of my time in Berkeley. And then I, like, threw myself into running also more during that. Like, running has always been a way of, like, processing things that happened to me and processing difficult emotions and experiences. Because if you, like, think about these things and you're just, like, sitting there, you're kind of, like, trapped. But then for me, running, like, I'll go on a run and then think about something that's embarrassing, or think about something that's, like, really hard, and then just, like, run away from them. Like, even though I'm not, like, literally running away from them, like, I go faster and I, like, put my head down and, like, try not to, and then, like, I don't know, it's, like, a really physical way of me running away from my problems, but also, like, processing them. So running was huge for me in getting away, like, understanding this, like, huge emotional thing that had happened to me right before. And it also helps to, like, not be surrounded, like, to just, like, be surrounded by completely new people in a completely new environment. And then also, like, the huge distraction of school and running.
Yeah, it seems like running has had a lot of different roles in your life. So how did you, like, actually end up on the team? Because I remember I was in the Galapagos when
first I was doing the trade log. Yeah,
and it was so funny because I checked my email, I think, once while I was down there, because I had to email a professor, and I'd gotten an email from you with a few other people CC'd on it too, so I didn't feel bad for not responding. But it was about you looking for where the track was, that you had just gotten to town and you didn't know where the track was, and all you knew was that practice was at 9 a.m. somewhere. I just read the email and I was like, I have no idea what is going on here, but there's nothing I can do about it right now, so I'm just gonna let someone else answer this and see what I walk into when I come back to school. So what led to you reaching out to the coach, and, like, what was that whole process?
So, as I mentioned, my friend who was on the track team at Scripps definitely inspired me. So I sent an email to the coach of Smith track team just saying my background and wondering if I could potentially, like, join the team, or if there were, like, certain times that I had to hit before I could join the team, or, like, if there was some way of me qualifying to run. And then I, like, got an email back in a few minutes that was like, we don't cut anyone, like, we're looking for bodies, like, this is my first year as a coach. So I was just like, awesome, like, hopefully I'm not, like, too slow or something. And then I had a phone call with her where she asked me just about my athletic background and, like, the times that I ran in high school, and then told me like first practice. Like she told me about J term, but I like couldn't go to it because I already had a trip to Taiwan planned. And so then I got back like a few days before the semester started, and then again, like I emailed you because she just said like it was at 9 a.m. and then I was like, but where? And so then I had to find the IT, the indoor track facility, and it was also my first time ever going to an indoor track or running on an indoor track, because that's not a thing at all on the West Coast. And so I thought it was really cute and like small, and like I thought it was kind of funny looking. And then I immediately, like, they're like, oh, so, like, do you want to do a workout? And so then on the first day, I did, like, a ladder workout with, like, several other people on the team.
What a wild start. I remember people on the team saying that they showed up to practice that day, and they were looking at the sheet that had the workout on it, and they saw your name, and they're like, this clearly is a typo. There's no team name Olivia. And then there you are. But yeah, it's crazy how things work out, because we had just gotten a new coach after our other coach had been with the program for over 30 years, and it was really sort of a rebuilding time for our team, and we really needed the energy that you brought, and someone that was intense and had the speed, and I think it like really, really helped everyone rise to that season. So thanks for coming, Olivia.
Thanks for having me.
How did you decide to then run cross country at Smith?
I never really didn't consider it. I don't know, that's a tough one. I always knew I was going to run cross country during track. I think sometimes the coaches would ask me or talk to me about it, and then I would say that I was kind of uncertain, but I knew that I was going to do it because I wanted to become a better runner, and I think that running cross country did that for me, definitely.
And then through track to cross country, what was your understanding of your role on the team?
So during track, I didn't really think about my role that much. As someone who was new, I often felt, or as someone who was new and someone who was a post-bac and not like, quote, like a real student, I often felt like exempted from like team or like administrative or not necessarily required things. So like, this like sounds horrible, but like I didn't like wake up for morning practices like so many times, like on like the last, like at the tail end of the season, just because I was kind of like really struggling with like getting enough sleep in classes and the like. So I just like felt like I could just like do whatever and it didn't matter, and that there were like very few consequences for me like not maybe adhering to the normal team role or structure as like a subordinate. I kind of just like felt like above it all. But then like cross country, I definitely didn't feel like that at all. I didn't feel like I could, like it was really like I felt like a part of the team. Like I felt like it was really important that like I be there and like be on time, and like I'm like no more important than any of these other people. I'm like, I realized that I was like a little bit of a diva in track. And then so I just thought of myself as like top like 400, 800 runner in track. My role was to place high at NUMAX. And then like as the season went on, I definitely had like more ups and downs, but I always knew that I was capable of placing high at NUMAX and like being that runner. But then during cross country, like I wasn't a good runner. I was like last or like second to last in every, like almost every race. I really had to rethink my identity and my identity surrounding running when it couldn't just be like based around being the best. And that's not really feasible at all, like for most things. Like if I didn't like math, like if I only liked math, if I was going to be the best at it, like that would never last. Like I'm not going to be a Fields medalist or anything. So, like, I remember our coach asked on, in, like, the form of, like, a note card or something, what we felt like our role was. And then she asked to the point after, like, I had definitely accepted or, like, let go of being a top runner. And I think I wrote to be a supportive teammate. But I really don't think that I became any more supportive after I was, like, quote, like, no longer good at running. So, like, I definitely could relate to struggles surrounding running and that kind of thing more, but I don't know if I necessarily talked to people on the team more about it or was more active in, or, like, more proactive in checking in with people or anything like that. Yeah.
I want to back up for a minute. So you said that it sounds like what you were saying about your attitude towards track maybe doesn't necessarily align with your life philosophy about challenging yourself. Do you think that had anything to do with your attitude, that maybe track seemed like an easier endeavor versus cross country seeming like a real challenge?
I think that there are different degrees of challenge. So, like, track was challenging, but then cross country was impossible. I never really rose to the occasion. Like, my races, my splits would usually go something like between 6 and 6:30 mile pace, and then 8 and 9 mile pace for the next 2 miles, because I would be completely defeated by myself and the course. And yeah, I really just, like, let myself crumble in cross country.
Were there any points during the season when you questioned your belonging on the team?
There were many times when I wanted to quit and, like, I knew that this is impossible, like, but, like, be on the team but never have to race again. Workouts eventually started going better as the season went on, and then dramatically worse at the end of the season, but workouts eventually started going better, but I was still really struggling with racing, and racing would cause me a ton of discomfort and anxiety and, like, stress just surrounding giving up a full day to this task which felt like futile, and, like, it was really just mentally and emotionally taxing on me at a time when I was, like, very busy with, like, school and graduate school applications and such.
How did you come to handle that discomfort and still make some progress in the workouts, or maybe not make progress in meets? Like, what's your reflection on that?
Whenever I was able to approach a workout with the attitude that I could do it, but actually believe it, believe that it was in my wheelhouse to do this repeat and this repeat and this repeat, then it went fine. I was able to do it. But I seldom believed that about my ability.
And how does your ability to support your teammates connect to your overall performance and confidence as a runner?
I think that so a lot of people during track, like, I think really struggled with, like, their performance and not doing as well as they hoped to. And then when the cross country season started, like, completely, like, turned it around and, like, became, like, a top runner on our team. So watching those changes were very inspirational to me. And after the season ended, I approached someone who, like, went from, like, not one of the fastest people on the track team, but then who, like, completely turned around in cross country. And I was like, how did you do it? Like, what like, how can, and like these people also like gave me a ton of inspiration for like my future as a runner, knowing that like any one season doesn't define who you are, and it can completely change in terms of your performance and your attitude. And all that she had to say was she gave herself a chance and like just tried to enjoy it and not worry so much about her times or lack of performance or not getting in enough miles. And I think that's something that I lost during from track to cross country. Like, I became super obsessive about like getting in enough miles and how I would do on each run, even like easy days. So that takes a lot of the fun out of it.
It seems like there was maybe some tension between the side of you that's knows you're only going to be on the team for 1 year and only going to do cross country for one season, but then also it sounds like you're still consciously considering and reflecting on the experience and like how you can be a better runner in person from it. How did you balance not letting the only one season part of you potentially ruin that season?
It doesn't make me that sad that I was only gonna get one chance at like Numax or like one chance at like D3 regionals. It was more that I only had 1 year to like build these relationships and like do all of these like fun team things. It was way more like a sad thing in that respect. And it definitely also did affect my season. Like, I would just get like sad and contemplative when I would think about how I had like 5 weeks left with these people, running with them, and I didn't go to Smith in the first place and like didn't even like know that I could have the potential to run and like be a part of a team and like run collegiately. I had to put it down if I wanted to do anything, but a lot of the time it was overwhelming to feel like I had to fit it all into a year.
Did that bring up feelings of regret for you?
I think that I was a lot different of a person by the time Smith like happened to me. So like I get that I couldn't have just like gone here in the first place or like been as where I am now and running when I was 18. Like, right. I just wasn't that person yet. But it makes me sad that, like, I had such a short time also. But, like, I can't regret it because, like, it just, like, couldn't have happened.
Yes, for sure. So were there other struggles connected to your running? Or, like, what other things did running help you confront?
I would say that running didn't, or it helped and also hurt my body image. So it was something that, like, I definitely still think somewhere in the back of my mind, like when I'm going on a run, like you have to go on a run so that you won't be fat, and things like that of that nature. And even during races, I would like tell myself that like I was like going so slowly because I was like carrying around this like extra weight or whatever. And so in that way, running was like almost compulsive, almost like a punishment of sorts for like eating and like having, or like eating too much or something like that. But then it was also like incredibly liberating because like being at Smith and like starting to do like collegiate track, I was definitely in the best shape that I've ever been in my life. And so it's like, I was also starting to be like more proud of my body, but it was only through like this like incredibly like difficult work and like so much running
Is that a part of your, is that something that's shown up in other areas of your life? Or is that like a part of your identity that you've held on to before?
I feel like my like body is everywhere in my life, and there's few things that I do where it doesn't feel like a major part of it. Maybe not in doing math, but in like going to class and like dealing with how you present yourself to like men and other people, to like be like attractive or appealing. But then also that's something that was like way more a problem for me in like my real undergrad, and not something that I cared about at all when I was going to UMass or like whatever for classes.
So how did you come to more of that place of peace with your body?
A good question. I don't think that I really have. One thing that, for the past few weeks, I've been traveling. And so in that time, it was pretty much impossible for me to, or like very difficult for me to run just from being short on time and from like bad air quality. And so like I couldn't go on a run anymore. And then I was like eating all of this kind of like food and like drinking and like things that I wouldn't have been able to do or like would have felt like intensely bad about. Especially like being on the team or like being like a from being on the team, but being a collegiate runner and having the expectations of a collegiate runner. Like you can't like completely trash your body once a week or whatever as a serious athlete and distance runner in particular. Well, then on the trip I had to like try and feel good about my body still. I counted it as a success of like not having any like breakdowns or like too much sadness surrounding that, even though I did think about it. So I guess that's, but I think that like for in terms of things that I actually do that are positive is to like not think about or like not set goals surrounding like my size or weight, but like instead focus on like become proud about things that my body can do. So like I only set athletic goals.
Does that help you focus on other aspects of your identity that are so much greater than how much you weigh or how your body looks?
Yeah, the setting goals of athletic goals for sure helps me with that.
And also in terms of having the belief and understanding of success in other areas of your life that are so much more than the physical aspects of your body.
Yeah, I would say that those things like also help. I don't really know what like a solution would be to like finally solve it. And like I don't even know if that's possible. But I think that I've had some like really great conversations with friends who are like also struggling with similar things. And then when all like the Mary Kane whatever came out, like you know that it happens like at every level and that there are so many people who are also struggling with this and like also open to talk about it, has helped me. And finding things about myself that I actually do like and like have no bearing on like how much I weigh like has no bearing on them also. And also, I watched this documentary about eating disorders. That was really good.
What was the documentary?
Actually, I don't even know if it's, like, publicly available. One of my friends at Scripps made it. But in it, like, people talked about, like, just like some really heavy stuff. But it was also people that I knew. And so it was like she interviewed other script students. And so it was like eye-opening and like incredibly sad that there are so many people I was surrounded by who were struggling through similar things.
How have you been able to create that space to open up those conversations with people?
Mostly it's people who are already really good friends. I haven't really tried to reach out or like bridge these issues with people I don't know as well. In like my immediate circle of like the handful of people who I'm closest to are like the only ones that I've talked to about it really. But to get their support has been really meaningful.
So how does your relationship to your body and food connect to the greater culture of body image in the sport of running? In your mind, what is the connection there?
I think that body image in the sport of running is like dramatically changing. So like people didn't used to have these conversations about all the Mary Kane, like how like horrible things that their coaches would say, which are actually just like the final vocalization of like things that in perhaps in the past and like maybe to like younger runners or people who don't talk about things like this are signaled, like thinner is better and carrying around extra weight and like those kinds of like tired and like false adages that people carry around. And so like those things are finally starting to be like vocalized as being wrong or untrue. And so like I feel like that is making me see my body and the way that I am as fitting into the sport of running more. Mm. I had always wanted to be like the like super thin like distance running, like I don't know, like you see like that kind of body type a lot, and like I had always wanted that. And I can think about like in college struggling with like wanting that and like not having it and like feeling like my body was even changing in like the opposite direction, like through going through puberty and things like that.
Did running in college present a negative aspect of body image for you or for some of the personal challenges that you'd already had with that side of your life?
Running at Smith or like running at Scripps?
Running at Smith.
Oh, I mean, like another part of like the student athlete life is that you're just like so busy. And so then like there was like so much less space in my head to think about it than if I was just like sitting on an airplane for a bunch of hours or like sitting and like not or like less busy. I'm sorry about this like editing. Because I was so overwhelmed by like the newness and had so many things to do, it wasn't something that I could think about and obsess about as much as I had when I was like a real undergraduate. I would go to meals and I would say, oh, like, it's okay. Like, I can, like, eat as much as I want to because, like, I'm, like, running and, like, I'll worry about this later. Like, it was, like, that kind of framing of eating rather than the, like, you better watch out or, like, you better, like, go on a run later framing of eating. So I think that, like, the running at Smith is probably like net slight positive or net neutral of like of how I go about like body image and things. Like I think that it just comes from like that more running isn't in and of itself, it doesn't help. And like, yeah.
It's such a complex topic and an issue, not just within the sport of running, but really within our whole culture. And yeah, I too am very, very relieved, I guess, to hear so many stories and to hear how open people are finding themselves with talking about this issue, because it's something I can relate to, something that I think is really, unfortunately, more common than it is not. And to me, it seems like mainly the aspects of shame and secrecy around talking about body image and food, especially tied to a sport like running, that just doesn't help anyone. So yeah, thank you for sharing that tidbit about your experience.
Yeah.
So overall, what was the most rewarding or unexpected experience that you had on the team at Smith?
So I had no idea running cross country would be so hard. I trained during the summer at Smith to prepare myself, but I don't think that I ever really got the feel for grinding at threshold for 20 to 30 minutes during races or workouts. So cross country in general, like anyone who does it and like does it well, like you have my eternal respect and admiration. I think that it's just such a hard sport, and I had no idea it would be so different from track and so hard. But this, like, even though cross country was hard, it was kind of overshadowed by how hard it was to leave Smith. I didn't realize that I would make these kinds of connections with people and become so emotionally invested. I don't think of myself as someone who's nostalgic at all. I like to like get up and leave, and like I like to meet people and like form connections, but I didn't realize that like I would be crying when I was leaving these people. Like I didn't think that I was that attached. So it was very unexpected how much of an impact everyone had on me in such a short time.
And how has this shaped what you want out of the next stage of your life, or what some of your future goals are?
I think that running has to remain a part of my life for my sanity and like my development as a person, and being on the running club especially. I think in a large part because of running, I was much happier than I was in my undergrad. I like felt much more fulfilled. I got better grades. Each part of it was challenging, but I think that I learned that it's important for me to challenge myself in multiple ways. Like my performance in running like helped me become a better mathematician and helped me feel more thankful, like, and more engaged in my social interactions.
Well, thank you so much, Olivia, for talking to me today and for being honest about your experiences and your reflections of your time at Smith.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for talking to me.
So I just have one final question to wrap things up. If you think back to one of the lower points of your life so far, what is a message that you have for that younger version of yourself?
So I think that the younger me would be much more afraid of looking stupid or asking for help. So this is something that I think that I learned from my previous semester at Smith, mostly through doing math, but I think that also applies to running. So I used to be really nervous about looking stupid in front of my research advisor and like asking stupid questions. But then like through getting over that, I was able to accomplish a lot more in one semester than like in my math research and work than I've been able to previously. And so I think that in running, it's also important to just be like super shameless about where you are with like your fitness and your injuries and what you're struggling with other people, because that's going to lead to you getting help and the most growth.
And then what is a message that you want to leave for your future self?
I guess like remembering just how much people like genuinely cared and were so kind and welcoming at Smith. Just like try and emulate that a little bit more probably.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Olivia. And yeah, I wish you the best in the next chapter of your life. We're going to be having you around.
Thank you.
Really been great to learn more about you and just to hear all the experiences and all the reflecting you've done as a human who also enjoys running. So
thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It was great to reflect about a lot about my time at Smith and running in general.
Maybe someday I can come join you for a run in Eugene.
Yeah, definitely. You should come to the trials.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You can stay at my house.
How much are the tickets?
I don't know. My mom got some though.
And they have the new facility and everything too, right?
Yeah, Hayward Field is currently under construction. Hopefully it'll be finished in time. Or like it will be finished in time, but like I think that they are having people literally work like construction work 24 hours a day.
Oh my gosh. Well,
like it's not gonna, it might not be finished in time.
Paid and treated.
Yeah, I know, right? Isn't that, like I'm like working like the graveyard shift is, but I don't know. That's okay. Maybe it's a, also this is totally a rumor. Like this is like not fact checked at all. Like some one person just told it to me.
Well,
I'll try and stop disseminating false information on your podcast.
This is Haley. That was Olivia. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed listening today and are eager to lace up again next time. You can reach out to me via email at tripleknotpod@gmail.com. And also a disclaimer, this podcast is indeed not fact-checked, so do what you will with any disclosed information. Until next time, have a good one.